To the Fight, episode 3. I'm here with Zach Barker today, and we're going to talk about everything to do with the Premier League. We're going to talk about newly promoted teams. We're going to talk about, is Phil Foden the next Kevin De Bruyne? We're going to talk about Paul Pogba, the love-hate relationship with Jose Mourinho. And also, we're going to be discussing the upcoming fixtures this weekend, as well as the mighty Leeds United. Let's go! Zach, how are we doing today, pal?
Very well. Excited. First time on. First podcast.
On, yeah. First time on for a proper discussion this time, Zachary. I had a good discussion with Adam earlier this week. We chewed the fat on everything to do with Rangers and Scottish football. But obviously
the Highland
now
Warrior.
Zach was talking to do with Premier League. So Zach, my first initial impression I want to ask you is Premier League. What do you think? Who do you think is going to be doing well this weekend, and who do you think's made an impression?
So the biggest impression I've found is Liverpool. I think they made a real impression this weekend or last weekend with. You know, just their attacking football and the different options there on the pitch. I think every single player was a threat.
So again, but if you don't strengthen, you stay still. And that is, I believe, again, what Spurs have done this year. They've stood still. Now, but again, Zach, if you look at Spurs' team, you can't blame Pochettino for not bringing anybody in. I mean, they've got some class players. I mean, they brought Lucas Moura in January. They've got strength at the back. They've got strength. I mean, the only thing about it, which I know it's an age old thing, and all the Spurs fans say this, but you know, if Harry Kane gets injured, where are you going to replace them goals?
Well, you're not, are you? And this is the thing, and it's not just that. It's showing intent to the other players who you're trying to keep, your Dele Allies, your Christian Eriksons, your people like that. It's showing intent that, we want to try and win a title. We don't just want to be a top four finish team. We want to be
New stadium, new league. You know, they want to get a trophy. So I think it's going to be an interesting season for Spurs. I really do. But
I know you go against me, but I still think Man United will be there challenging.
No. I mean, I think Mourinho. He likes his teams. He likes people to think it's a siege mentality. Now, everybody's discussing Mourinho at the moment with Pogba. Have you seen the new news at the moment, Zach, with the Sky Sports and all the major media outlets are reporting that Paul Pogba's had a fallen out with Mourinho. Now, look, I don't know if it's true, because we don't know. We don't know because we, you know, obviously on the outside. But if you look at body language, and if you look at the relationship between the two in the last year, you know, it's now becoming to do with Mourinho, as he is now pushing the last strings with this team. Because if you look back at Mourinho's past, it's always his third season. When he gets to his third season with Chelsea, with Real Madrid, he falls out with their best players. He develops a kind of a siege mentality against himself, not just his team. And Ed Woodward this year is now obviously not backed him in the transfer market. And now I think Mourinho is trying to step out and kind of fill that void between the two. I still think both those, that Pogba and Mourinho, they need to sit down and be men about it and talk about it in a room.
Well, this is a very interesting thing, because you know, when you've been hearing, you know my opinion on the Pogba, and you know my opinion on Mourinho. I do think he's very clever, and he does a lot of psychological things in the press.
Absolutely.
He's one step ahead of all of us in what he's doing, what he's leaking to the press, what he wants to leak to the press, you know?
Yeah.
And my thing with Pogba is, you know, there's a couple of finer points there, because at the end of the day, is it a case of, did Ferguson see something that, you know, we're only starting to see now at Pogba, but he thinks he's sometimes bigger than who he is.
That's a really good point, man. You know, people might not know this, the people who are listening to the podcast. Paul Pogba was developed in the academy, in Carrington, in Ferguson's kind of last 2 or 3 years. So he came through the academy in 2011. the FA Youth Cup trophy, which the class of 92 won in 92, obviously.
Yeah.
They won that with Paul Pogba was in the team. It was Ravel Morrison, the likes of a couple others I can't recall right now. But that youth team came through the ranks and Paul Pogba was an integral part of that team. Now, if Mourinho has seen something that Ferguson saw in Paul Pogba that we don't see. Look, we can't... The modern footballer these days, that they're very temperamental people. You've got the likes of social media. You've got the likes of distractions of sponsorship rights, money. These young men, and they are young men, not forget, 24, 25, 26, they've got to make good decisions. And I think that Paul Pogba, coming from a fantastic World Cup, he needs now to come down to United, get his head down and start grafting. Distract all these, you know, transfer rumours of him going to Barcelona. He needs to get his head down and get playing. Now, this is my other point that I want to make to you right now, is Mourinho. The fact is, you know, Paul Pogba has come back from the World Cup, stellar World Cup, right? We are both agreed on that.
Unbelievable. At the end of the day, you don't come back from being a World Cup winner and not, it's obviously an exceptional World Cup.
Yeah,
you know?
So he came back, exceptional World Cup, and he's come back now, back to United. He is now the skipper, the Man United captain.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Mourinho put him as captain to try to get the best out of him. I don't know. We don't know that. But the fact is, what normally football managers will do is they will give their star player kind of control in the dressing room as a captain, so then they don't leave. Now, that's the impression I got when I first saw that team sheet and saw the little C next to Pogba.
100%. He's not, because end of the day, you and me both know, coming from the English game, playing the English game, getting brought up around it, he's not your typical captain. He's not your John Terry. He's not your Vidic or your Ferdinand.
Yeah, Terry Butcher with the red, bandage around his head, screaming.
Yeah, he's not your typical John Terry when he got kicked in the head and still wanted to play after being knocked unconscious in the FA Cup. Yeah. He's not your typical player like that.
No.
I think Mourinho said to him, and obviously we only read from the outside, but it's a case of, okay, you think you are the biggest player here. Lead by example. Lead your team.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. That's what I think Mourinho did to Pogba. And I think that's what people now want to see, that performance. People want to see that level of determination, that spirit, that funness. Because one thing I love about Pogba is that is his attitude. He's got such a good attitude when it comes to his game. You can tell he loves being on this pitch. But again, the modern footballer these days is quite temperamental. So again, you look at the factors, the man management part of Mourinho's game, which again, look, forget, he's a great man manager. You know, look at his teams in the past, the Lampard, the Terry's, the Drogba's, you know, the Inter Milan days, the Milito, Stankovic, the Schneiders. These guys were leaders. And then he went to Real Madrid and it kind of fell apart. Now, is to do with his tactics. Now, Zach, we all know, and again, I wanted to discuss with you today, we all know this new fashion playing out from the back. Now, playing out from the back, again, it's like reinventing the wheel. In soccer training, everything comes around. And I think that this new fashion of playing out from the back is now taking the fact away from actually going out and winning games.
100%, 100% agree. It's don't get me, it, like you said, it is a fashionable thing, you know. Exactly. At the end of the day, I think obviously you guys might not hear it over in America, but there is a talk show over here, TalkSport, which I avidly listen to, and they have all old players on, old managers, and so on. And they had obviously the infamous Sam Allardyce, who was, for a very short period of time, the England manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously, anybody who knows Premier League football, he is a, you know, through and through English manager. Yeah, and basically his point about, this game is, and he was using the game at the weekend, Arsenal versus Man City, as a prime example.
I watched it last night, watched it back.
Yeah. And he basically, his point was, and his argument was, what you just again there, playing out from the back. Why Arsenal started to play about from the back, trying to use the keeper as your extra man at the back to, pass the ball out. Mm-hmm. And they got caught out.
Constantly. You know why though, Zach? You know why though? This is the thing that people can't understand and people don't know, is that you've got to have the right players to do that. I mean, we talked briefly yesterday, Zach, about Guardiola, how he spent all this money. We get he spent a lot of money, but he's targeted certain positions and certain players that's going to strengthen his team. Now, what we discussed, he bought four fullbacks. Yeah. Or was it three? Yeah, three fullbacks and one came from the academy. So there you go. Guardiola has targeted what he needs to make his team better and what he needs as a coach to play his style of football. Now, you and I, Emery, at Arsenal.
Yeah, so this is the thing with you and Emery at Arsenal. So for me, you know, going into a game against Man City, what is their one thing they are exceptional at? And that is pressing on the ball when they haven't got the ball. It's known throughout Pep Guardiola's at Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Man City. When they haven't got the ball, he demands that his team win that ball back, no matter what the cost.
And also, that no, it's not just Guardiola. I mean, Klopp does that at Liverpool. Sarri, I believe, does it at Chelsea now. It's the new continental way of playing football. And that is when you don't have the ball, it's what you do. I did a coaching session last night and I said to the girls, look, it's what you do off the ball that counts. It's not what you do on the ball. I don't care if you can make 1,000 passes between yourselves. It's what you do off the ball to shut down holes in defences, stop passing lanes. And this is what Man City do. And this is actually Zach. I watched the whole first half yesterday of the Arsenal-Man City game and Arsenal did not look comfortable. They did not look comfortable playing out from the back because Man City's press was so high up the pitch.
Do you know what infuriated me about that, though? And this is where, again, Sam Allardyce was infuriated to the... Like you hit on, they looked uncomfortable because maybe they haven't got the kind of players that you need to have playing out of the back, playing from the back.
Well,
so
got,
why not change your why not change your game to think to ourselves, well, we're not that great at passing from the back, so go long or go to your midfield or get it out the back
but
quickly.
If we try and diagnose the Arsenal DNA, and in the day, Aubameyang's not going to hold it up. Lacazette will run in behind. He's only 5'9". Mesut Ozil, he won't even hurt a fly. You know, the fact is, Arsenal, there's a DNA problem with Arsenal. And Ian Wright was discussing this. They need to change their identity. They need to be stopped being such kind of a whipping boys of the top six. They need to have a little bit more backbone to them. And that, again, it's to do with the type of style the manager wants to play. Now, that, just to quickly get on to Sam Allardyce, because I want to move on to the next topic. I always quote the same thing every year, and I believe he was the Newcastle manager or West Ham manager at one time. He's been in a lot of clubs, hasn't he? So
yeah,
it's trying hard to keep on to him.
He's an English manager through and through, isn't he? There's probably not a club that he hasn't managed.
Yeah, exactly, man. Is that the new Neil Warnock, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Zach, basically, he said, and I always quote this. I always quote, he goes on, everybody goes on about the right way of playing football these days. He says it's a whole bunch of nonsense, and it is more of an explicit word than nonsense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He said that get it up the field with quality and purpose and put it in the back of the net. Now, look, we all know Guardiola likes pretty football. We know Arsenal likes pretty football and the Wenger. But in the day, though, goals win your games. Now, if you get that ball up the top of the end of the pitch as soon as possible, quality, and whip a good cross in, that is a goal. Doesn't need to have 500 passes before the goal happens. So that's a good point there, Zat, and I'm glad you raised that.
But there, just my final point with Sam Allardyce as well. Obviously, it's a good thing for you, the people who are listening to, you know, really dive into it. Is that last season is a prime example about this point about saying it's just this style of football is just it's just the football of this time right now is the fact that Sam Allardyce came into Everton when they were in, I believe, the relegation spot.
They were dead on the knees.
Bad
transfer policies to a manager that didn't know what he was doing.
So Sam Allardyce came in and came into the club, and I believe that in the time that he was at the was at Everton, he didn't play fancy football, he didn't play posh football. He played to win the game or to, you know, get a result from that game, get points out of that game. And I think if you look, anybody who can obviously look at this, I think they'll look and he apart from maybe Pep Guardiola, had the most points for a half a season than
10.
Any other manager.
Yeah.
Or any other team. But yet, he still got fired and, you know, or still got sacked. And he got sacked because he didn't play fancy and watching for, like, you know, on the eye catching
football.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree with you. And the fact is, look, I mean, if we're talking about Premier League status or we're talking about changing the club. Now, Everton are probably the best of the rest. Would you agree on that? The best of the rest. I mean, they're
best of the rest. Yeah, they're never gonna break through to the top six.
No, they're never gonna do that. But I mean, they've now got a manager that, again, we've just been talking last 5 minutes chewing the fat about this new style of football manager these days. It's gone of the Hodgson's, gone of the Pardew's. Last year that we had 6 or 7 British managers in the league: Pardew, Moyes, Hodgson, and now we've got a handful because, again, the modern owners. Now, you look at football, we could chew the fat all day about this because we're going to go now into topics of club ownership, how clubs are now managing, wanting their coaches or managers to be coaches. That means that they're employing directors of football these days, which anybody who's listening, directors of football are basically somebody who deals with transfers, deals with the everyday running. What would Americans call a general manager? Now, every franchise in America, Zach, has a head coach, but they have a GM, a general manager that does all the transfers, does all the trades. Now, this is the mold of football's going to. Zach, brilliant topic, mate. We'll come back to that next time because that is another one that I want to chew the fat about. Is the modern game changing where now managers are head coaches? They're not coaches on the foot, they're not grass and balls coaches. Brilliant, Zach. That sounds good. Zach, tell me about what you think about the injury Kevin De Bruyne suffered in training this week.
I think it is a blow because of the unbelievable player that he is. Because, end
talent.
Of the day, let's be fair, I think any team in the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, you know, MLS would take him in their team, first name on the team sheet, you know, whatever you want to say. He scores goals, he can hit with the left and his right foot, he can assist. Yeah. You know, he's got it all in terms of your midfielder that you want. But because of how Man City have gone about their business, I don't think he will be missed. And it's not because I think, you know, you've got the likes of Phil Foden coming through, who obviously to all those Englishmen, he's the missing link in the England team.
That's a good point, Zach. Let's chew the fat there. You've made a great point. What was that point?
It was that he's the missing link to the England
team.
If
anybody watched that mighty England play in the World Cup this year.
We all watched it. Proud Three Lions.
I know. I was dead proud of being an Englishman watching that. And again, for anybody listening, just to let you know, football's coming home. Self-deprecation. Wasn't supposed to be meant literally. But after we got past the quarterfinals, dare to dream. What does Americans say? I believe. Well, we started believing, didn't we, Zach?
We did. Southgate, we believe.
Unfortunately, we didn't get there. It was a little bit of a game too far, bridge too far. But again, Zach, that's a brilliant point because the one thing that we were missing as a creative team was that box-to-box number 8. Now, we had Henderson. Henderson's the tank and the engine of our team. We needed a Lallana. We needed some type of player to get on the ball, start distributing and start getting the team ticking over. Now, again, it's ironic because England 20 years ago were blessed with these players. We had the likes of Steve Gerrard coming through, Frank Lampard, Paul Scholes. I mean, these guys, legends of the game. And now England don't have it. Now, Phil Foden will be staying at City. I mean, I don't think he's going to be going alone anywhere because Guardiola thinks he's good enough. Now, if Phil Foden can step into that mould and start being that creative number 8 box-to-box midfielder, England now look like we can hold our own against a top team that can pass, like the Croatia. I mean, if we talk about the Croatia games, that England kind of got outclassed in that second half.
We did, but you know, because if you put the thing is, and it's I always say this, you look at there's 2 points you've got to look at with the England team. A, the fact it was the youngest team at the tournament, so what great experience to have getting to a semi-final of a World Cup. You can't take that away from any of them, being the youngest team in the World Cup. Secondly, it's you look at what we all say, and no matter who says it, if you want a winning team or you know, a World Cup winning team, you need world-class stars in that team, world-class performers, people who step up. And you look at Croatia's team compared to ours, you have Rakitic, you have Modric. You know, these guys take the game by the scruff of the neck and win games for you. And well, unfortunately, I think that was the difference.
These guys have won league titles, Sat. I mean, in the day that the England team was mainly made up of Tottenham players, which, you know, notoriously have not won anything. Now, I mean, you know, we'll talk about an England another time, Sat. I mean, I think people might get a little bit, you know, bored of hearing about the England. But again, the fact is, though, you know, we should be dead proud of what we did in that tournament. English football's back on the rise. Our league is the most viewed. Probably not the most best. I'm not saying it's the best league in the world because that's very subjective. I'm saying it's the most viewed league in the world. Kids watch Premier League. They like the stars. They like the managers. And again, Zach, we're talking about Premier League managers today. Look at the league at the moment. We've got multiple managers that have won honours around the world. It attracts the best, which it should be the best. But again, people have a different opinion to that.
Well, like I say, I think in our league, I think you just got to look at, you know, it's you know, it's things you can argue with constantly and, you know, argue tit for tat. But end of the day, you come to the Premier League, you have, I don't know, 10 teams, maybe even more, who you are going to be competitive with, where you go to your Ligas, your Serie A's, you've got three teams, maybe four, that are going to real be competitive, where you look at the Man Cities and you look at people of last year. Man City were the best team in the league last year. No one can argue. Still went to Burnley and lost 1-0 because Burnley played a style of football that they weren't used to.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
I want to talk to you about the other teams in the league. Now, this is what makes our league the best. Well, I shouldn't say that. One of the best in the league, in the world, is because, like you just said there, Zach, the Burnleys, the Bournemouths, the Huddersfields, these guys are hard and gritty places to go and get points. Now, you're telling me that Barcelona struggles away at Leganés or struggles away at Celta Vigo? I mean, look, come on. I mean, when you go to Turf Moor, when you go to the Vitality Stadium down in Bournemouth, you know you're in for a game. I mean, they used to say the old, you know, the old simile, Zach, that, you know, Stoke City on a Tuesday night.
And a rainy Tuesday night under floodlights.
That's the Premier League. So, Zach, we're going to talk quickly here. I want to get your opinion about the newly promoted teams. Do you think, and my question to you is money now the epitome of staying in the Premier League? Now, why ask you that, Zach? Because the three promoted teams, except for our legend Neil Warnock, you know, is our man.
God love the man.
Come off the hour, come off the man, right?
Come off the hour, come off the man.
He's not spent anything, Neil. He's got a lot of respect in his current 11.
I want you to, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you don't know who Neil Warnock is, type in Google, Neil Warnock.
Oh, he's a lovely lad. He's a lovely lad, is Neil Warnock.
Type in Neil Warnock. Post-match and like half-time team talk.
Yeah,
and see this man.
If you're listening, that's under the age of 16 to 18. Please get your parents' consent because it has a little bit of explicits in. But any football manager worth their salt will not be not using no profanities. So, but no, that's a good point, Zach. Yes, go to YouTube and put in Neil Warnock. Now, Neil Warnock will be again one of my and Zach's heroes. But again, we're talking about the other two promoted teams. Now, Fulham spent over 100 million. They've got some top players. Wolves have spent over 70 million, bought in very, very good recruitments. Now, Zach, I had the pleasure of watching that Wolves-Everton game last week. I thought the manager, Nuno Espirante, Nuno Espirante, he did fantastic. I mean, he is one of the managers that you want to play for. He's a Guardiola type. He's a Klopp type. Now, Wolves have spent money on Moutinho, who's also very, very good player, Portuguese Euro 2016 winner. Fulham have signed André Schürrle, World Cup winner 2014. So, in the day, these two new teams are promoted and they've got quality signings. Now, Zach, what do you think about the impressions that they've made, and what do you think they're going to do this year?
I think both teams are going to stay up this season. I have no doubt in that. I even think...
You really think both teams are going to stay? Fulham and Wolves are going to stay up?
I do. I think both of them will stay up. And both of them will stay up. And I think one of them could even break into the top 10 of the league. You heard that here first. Anybody that wants to test me on that.
Yeah.
But you heard that here first. Top 10. One of them
actually has got to is predicted to finish eighth.
There you go.
That could be interesting, Zach.
In Zach we trust.
So is that, yeah, well there you go, mate. That's gonna be a little segment. Now Zach, just but the fact is though, why do you think though, and who's gonna replace them? If they're gonna stay up, somebody's gotta go down. So you tell me, what do you think?
If I'm honest with you, if you're looking at the teams, you want me to give an honest opinion of the teams that are going to go down, I do believe. I think Huddersfield will go down this season.
Yes, I agree.
I don't think they've recruited well enough. In my personal opinion, I just don't think that... I like the manager. I think he's going to do great things. But I just think that they've lasted their time. And I think they scraped it last season. Probably towards the end, they sort of got the results they needed. But I think they're probably going to go down this season. I do think Cardiff are going to be, as much as I love Neil Warnock, I do think they've not recruited and spent enough compared to the other teams and the other, people like your Burnleys and stuff, people like that. They've got great managers and they're also, they're just a very well-drilled teams. And my last one is probably going to be Brighton. Because again,
I like Chris Hughton, but I think if you look at the quality that they've recruited, I can't think on the top of my head who they've signed this year. But again, it's probably just a couple of signings to strengthen the current squad. Now, I think these managers you mentioned, though, Zach, Chris Hughton, Neil Warnock, Wagner at Huddersfield, they're very, very committed to them players that got them there. That's the thing. And now you look at Bournemouth. You look at Eddie Howe at Bournemouth. It's the third season in the league this year. And also what he's done... He's kept that same core group together because he believes in them. Looking at all the Premier League teams, again, what makes, again, subjective, our league one of the best in the world is that when you go and play one of these smaller teams, and with respect, smaller teams, you know you're in for a game. And this is the difference between any other league in the world. You see a Bundesliga, you see, Serie A, they play against some pretty average teams, and they're going to hammer them. Now, you don't know if Arsenal go down to Bournemouth, they're going to hammer them. You don't know if City go to Huddersfield, which they've got at the weekend. Man City are playing Huddersfield. It's going to be a tough game for Guardiola. He knows that because Huddersfield are drilled, well-organised and disciplined. So that gets us to my next point about the upcoming Premier League fixtures. We got a juicy one this weekend, Zach. We're going to talk about one fixture, and that's one that I've highlighted, is the Chelsea versus Arsenal. Chelsea versus Arsenal. We're going to talk quickly about it, Zach. What do you think? Who's going to win?
Without a doubt, Chelsea, from what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
I know it's only been one game. And there's still players to come back. But Arsenal, they look naive in how they play at the minute. And I think, because they brought a lot of players in end of the day. You look how many players they've brought in and they're just getting used to gelling with each other. And I do think it will come good for them. Yeah. It's a new manager. It's a new signings. And I think the signings they've made are good.
Can we talk quickly about Chelsea's gaffer, though? Can we talk about his T-shirt size and how he chews cigarettes on the touchline?
He's not the most standard manager as we've seen in the Premier League, is he?
No, he's wearing that T-shirt way too big for him, though. I mean, you're not an extra large, Sari.
He's Italian as well. You'd have thought he'd know his style being Italian.
I thought he'd be in a slick suit, personally.
He's no Conte, is he?
Gianfranco Zola, has he got the Fountain of Youth in his back garden or something?
He's just blessed, isn't he? He's like, with us two, we've got a face for radio. Zola's got a face for TV, hasn't he, really?
Zola, man, he's a beautiful man. I mean,
he is a beautiful man.
We'll talk about the mighty Leeds sack. We're going to end that, and we're going to end this podcast.
Here's a subject. Here's a subject that's dear to my heart.
And I thought I'd end it with something close to your heart, Zach, because I'm always interested to see your opinion or hear your opinion about the mighty Leeds United. So, Zach, tell me, are you getting the Premier League party celebrations
Three games in, we're celebrating going up already. You know,
it's dangerous, Zach. It's dangerous, but I got to admit, the Leeds, they look fresh. I mean, you know, Patrick Bamford up top, the likes of Lewis Baker in midfield.
It's not just that; it's what we've just been talking about, though, and it's getting the right manager in, and
absolutely,
and getting the right manager in because Bielsa, anybody you know who again doesn't know who he is, look him up and look at the things that other top managers, Pep Guardiola, Pochettino, you know, all these great managers say he is their inspiration. These, you know, managers are coming up against him this season in the Championship. So saying what a delight it is to go against him.
Let's just clarify that point because I think it's a really good one. That now Marcelo Bielsa, his mentor, or his Guardiola looked up to him. Who else looked up to him?
Pochettino, the Tottenham manager, played underneath him.
So there you go. I mean, the fact is, these guys who are in the league right now, managing the top teams in the Premier League, are looking at Leeds United, and wow, what a steal! Now, can I tell you one thing, Zach? I was listening to the Sky Sports podcast, and they're telling how they get, because it's a coup. How did Leeds United, of all clubs, get a quality manager like Bielsa coming from Paul Heckenbaum? I mean, you know, that's kind of like coming from, you know, from, you know, the Northern Yorkshire all the way to Paris, you know,
it's unheard of.
It is. It's massively poles apart. Now, with Bielsa coming into the team, changing philosophy, changing the culture of the club. Now, hopefully, Zach, I mean, I think all football fans would like to see Leeds United back in the Premier League. It's a big, big club. Although they've not been in the Premier League now for 15 years... I might add, 15, Zach.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is a long time to be out of the Premier League. But people still talk of Leeds in the way of the 70s, that stalwart team of the Don Revie era. You know, that was what the culture of Leeds United is all about. Now, if they can get back into the promised land of the Premier League, I'm sure everybody's second team will be Leeds United.
Yeah.
Go to the games, Zach. Have you been to any games yet?
I'm going to my first game of the season tomorrow. I'm going to Leeds United versus Rotherham. And
is Leeds United at home versus Rotherham?
It's at home. It's a sellout, 36,000, which I know to the American listeners is pretty much nothing. That's like going to the pond and watching a game. But, you know, it's you know, in English football, that's quite
in
a good crowd.
Zach, you won't believe in college football. I mean, the attendances. Granted, they are, a lot of them are alumni and students. But, I mean, they get...
But have they ever been to Stoke on a Tuesday night under the floodlights?
Can they do it against Stoke on a Tuesday night in on the rain with the floodlights? You know, playing long ball, I think not. But Zach,
I think not.
Bloody brilliant, my man. So, fantastic podcast today. I think everybody was interested to hear about the managers, the systems, the different personalities of the managers, Premier League predictions, and also our impressions on what we think is going to be a good weekend of football. So, Zach, I'll
look. This is the first. Enjoy, love you too, pal.
Yeah, enjoy the Leeds United Rotherham game. Please let me know that Leeds get the win, and we will be seeing, or I will be speaking to you very soon, Zach, because next week we've got a really good podcast planned. It's going to be me, you, and Mr. Adam Craig, and we're going to
the Highland Warrior.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Scotland over across the wall. We kicked him over the wall. We're going to talk,
and he's coming. He's fighting back.
Yeah, we're going to talk everything to do with Premier League predictions, everything that we've seen in the league, and also we're going to do a new segment where I'm going to ask you both something that's in the football world, the media, that you would like to discuss, and I'll pick the best one between you two, so make sure it's something decent, not that Newcastle guy getting his pecker out.
Oh, well, you know, that's thrown me out the window, hasn't it?
Like, well, there you go.
What else am I going to talk about now?
All right, Zachy boy. Good stuff, mate. And I'll speak to you very soon.
Speak to you soon, pal.
Good.
you know.
Spider pig going bouldering, man.
Yeah, mate.
Have you got big hands yet, pal?
Of course, mate. I've got grafters on my little baby office hands couldn't handle it.
That's what I mean, man. You've got to get some moisturiser on them puppies, you know.
Oh, honestly, rip my hands to pieces.
All right, let's get the podcast started, mate.